Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. This is Networking Squared with Al Crawford. This is the series of shows that we've been doing to begin 2018, where we're actually featuring members of Local Business Network. Local Business Network is a face-to-face networking organization located in Southeast Michigan, consisting of about 38 chapters, about 450 members. And we're going to be talking to several of the members from the Farmington chapter. The Farmington chapter is actually located, they meet at Scrambler Marie's, which is at 27909 Orchard Lake Road in Farmington. And they meet on the second and fourth Wednesday of each month at 7:45 a.m. If you're interested, you can check out their fan page on Facebook, or you can reach out to me individually as well. We're going to start with our interviews. The first person we're going to be speaking to, his name is Benjamin Hogg, and he is with Edward Jones Investments. And I'm really excited to have him on, and I know he's got some great information for our listeners, so we're going to bring him on now. Benjamin, are you there?
I am.
Hey, welcome to the show, buddy. As I thought about it, is there a different pronunciation of the last name? Did I do it wrong?
Yes.
Or what?
It's actually pronounced Hogg, H-O-G-G, but it's commonly mispronounced. My ancestors were lowland pig farmers, and we were named after our profession. So for some reason, it's pronounced Hogg, but now you know a little bit of my background.
That's cool. That's really cool. Most people have no idea why, but I think that's pretty awesome. I like that. Well, I love bacon, so it worked out well. So I have some questions I want to ask you, and I know that in our series, we really try to keep everybody on point as much as we can. So my first question would, what would you say is your most important job as a financial advisor?
Well, I would say probably understanding what's most important to you, the client, is what's most important to me. Having an investment strategy needs to be personalized. So before I can make any sort of recommendation, I need to work really closely with you and understand what's most important. And that usually includes having a good understanding of your goals, both short-term and long-term. Also knowing what your comfort level with risk is as it pertains to market volatility, fluctuation, and that sort of thing. But I also want to make sure that I'm providing choices for how you want to work with me. Some clients like more of a hands-on approach, and others want to sort of let go of the reins, relinquish control, and give discretion to a team of professionals. So either way is acceptable.
Nice. Now, there's a lot of different financial firms out there. Why should someone choose Edward Jones?
Well, I think when making a decision to work with any sort of professional, whether it's financial or not, looking at a firm's core values should be considered when creating and developing a professional relationship. And one of the reasons why I chose Edward Jones was because they focus on putting clients' best interests first. We, as Edward Jones advisors, we like to work with the serious long-term investors who really value a trusted relationship. We believe in quality-oriented investments, ones that emphasize on diversification and balance. And we really value working in a partnership. Edward Jones is actually a limited partnership, but we also want to develop partnerships with our clients. So we don't have any proprietary products. We're not publicly traded. And so ultimately, we're responsible, and we have responsibility to our clients and not to any outside shareholders.
That's pretty cool. So what do you feel makes your Edward Jones practice unique?
Well, I consider myself a legacy planner, which really means I work specifically with multi-generational families and family-owned businesses. I help organize their finances so they can focus on what's most important to them. This often involves, you know, working with a client's estate or business attorney, their CPA, just making sure that each family is properly protected in the event of a major life change. So recently I worked with an elderly care attorney with a client because we were going to do an annual review, and she was really preoccupied with the fact that her father was starting to forget things, and she has a special needs brother. And even though he's the guardian of her brother, if he starts to forget things and there's not, you know, a power of attorney put into place or anything like that, then that can make it very difficult if she or her other siblings need to help care for her special needs brother, let alone make sure that her father's affairs are in order. So those are the things that we want to make sure that we're doing proactively to make sure that the family's wishes are carried out accordingly.
Yeah, and that's important. I mean, I had some situations like that this year, and I really wish that, you know, my parents had done a better job of preparing, you know, their kind of their legacy, because it definitely does create some challenges for your loved ones if stuff isn't done, you know, the right way.
So absolutely.
For people who are unfamiliar with the process, can you kind of go over a little bit what the process is if somebody's, when you're working with one of your clients?
Sure. My process is really simple, but at the same time, it's proven to be successful. It's very well established. So ultimately, what I'm trying to understand when working with clients is, you know, where are you today? Where would you like to be in however long, if it's 5, 10, 15, 20 years? Have you taken the proper steps to get where you want to go? Are you able to get there now? And if so, how? And then what happens if life throws you a curveball? So it's all very cyclical. It all revolves around you, the client. And every time we meet for our annual reviews, I'm still asking those same questions because, you know, something can happen within a year that can make you change your mind on what you want to do 10 years from now or 20 years from now.
Very cool. This is something that I think, in my mind, the financial planner, the financial advisor is probably in the top three as far as the most important people, you know, in your life. And so this is a question that I think that is an important one to ask. And that is, what do your clients value most about working with you?
Well, I would say that my clients, they know that I care about them. And I know that they know that based on, you know, my actions and my availability to them. We also get J.D. Power and Associates, sorry, they do surveys for clients, and they're anonymous, but we get feedback. And fortunately for me and the experience that I've had, we've had very high marks, and I think it comes back to me wanting to be more than just the common broker or advisor. I really am striving to be that trusted advocate, which is, you know, why I joined LBN in the first place. It's a great opportunity for when my clients call me and they say, you know, Ben, I know we're talking about my retirement, for example, but I got to get my driveway redone. Who do you know? And so when that happens, I know that that's a client that looks at me more than just the guy who buys stocks and bonds for them. You know what I mean?
Nice. So this is something, again, I'm very much a novice at this, and so this is one of those questions where, again, I like to depend on the expert to do the things that they do. With all the investment options available, how do you know how to make the right or the adequate recommendation? I think that's part of the million-dollar question for me and probably my listeners as well.
Absolutely. Well, first I'll say that the most common misconception is that financial advisors are money managers. And quite frankly, if I'm spending most of my time speaking with clients about their future, I personally don't have the time to do all of the research that's available, but fortunately for me, Edward Jones does, and I think they do a phenomenal job of providing in-depth research and analysis. There are literally tens of thousands of securities out there available to the general public, and Edward Jones does a lot of due diligence, and they select only those investments that they believe are best suited for long-term success. So the team of analysts and strategists have a great deal of experience, and they're constantly assessing shifts in the market, and then they're conducting analyses to help me identify the appropriate investments for you, the client. And from there, they will help me develop the right portfolio that includes a good balance and mix of investments based on your objectives, your time horizon, your comfort level with risk. And that way, your portfolio is truly personalized, and it has the quality investments that are proportioned appropriately and aligned with your specific goals.
That's amazing. And that's probably, honest to God, that's probably the best answer I've ever had.
Oh.
I've been sure for 7 years, it's probably the best response I've ever had. I think I'm gonna bottle that and go, oh my God, that was amazing.
Well, thank you.
Man, I don't get goosebumps very often from answers, but that was a goosebump answer. So great job, man. Wow. So one of the questions that I think that also is out there, and I get this response from different people, is how do you determine how often you meet with your clients?
Well, I require my clients to meet with me at least once per year, and I kind of touched upon this before when I was talking about my process. I just feel that within a year's time, a lot can happen. If we look back in 2017, there were a lot of positive things that happened for some people, but there were also a lot of not so positive things that happen. And so it's like going to the doctor, going to the dentist. Hopefully coming to see your financial advisor is not as arduous. But at the same time, if we meet at least once a year, that's important. But then I will leave the rest up to my client. I do see some clients or speak with them at least once a month, depending on their situation. Others are quarterly or biannually. It's really up to them. But then there's also we have to keep the lines of communication open because we have to identify those timely risks or timely opportunities. I mean, that's important too. So keeping them informed on those shifting conditions and, you know, recommending to make adjustments whenever appropriate is also necessary. So it's not a clear set response. It's as long as we're meeting, you know, consistently every year, that's good. But we also have to make sure that if something comes up out of the blue, I know that my client will reach out to me if, you know, something's happened to them and vice versa.
Okay. Well, I guess my response would be is that if somebody is dealing with a financial advisor and you haven't talked to him in a couple of years, so you're really not sure who your person is, it's probably time to look at talking to them.
Oh,
I've had it. I'm like,
that.
So who do you deal with? I don't know. I'm just kind of in they got me in a bucket somewhere. I'm like, okay, that's pretty horrifying, but okay, great. But your future is based in a bucket. That's sweet. So what is the most common concern that your clients have when it comes to investing?
I hear a lot. The two most common questions are, can I retire when I want to, or can I make achieve the goal that I want to achieve? And what happens if I run out of money too early? Those seem to be the two most common concerns. And to me, that all boils down to having the proper preparations in place to handle the unexpected events. There are, I think, regardless of wherever you are in life, there's always some foundational risk that can affect even the best most well thought out plan. And some of those examples could be preparing or dealing with a situation that involves, say, a disability or maybe needing long-term care either for your spouse or, an aging parent. Not outliving your money is difficult because we don't have that crystal ball. We don't know, what your true time horizon is. Yes, we can look at what your genes look like, and if, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, they all lived into their 90s and you're, healthy at age 75, we can say, well, unless, something out of the ordinary happens, you probably have a good chance of living into your 90s. But ultimately, we don't know. And so it's striking that balance between planning for what you expect to happen and then preparing for what we're not expecting to happen. And that's really a huge part of the strategies that I put into place so I can help prepare folks for those unfortunate events, but I can also help them become more confident that when they're in retirement that they can, take that extra vacation or they can buy that second home with, a high probability of success, knowing that even if they were to make that purchase and, something out of the ordinary were to happen, that they would still have the resources available to address that as well. That's the hard thing, keeping your emotions in check. I think that's one of the hardest things. But ultimately, when you work together with a professional, in this case a financial professional, the biggest risk that I am trying to prevent is making sure that, not reaching your long-term goal. So my biggest, most important job is making sure that no matter what, you're reaching the goals and living the life that you want to live. But we have to make sure that we've accounted for as much as possible, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So I would say the call out would be to the millennials. If you don't want your parents living with you, have them call Ben.
that's interesting too, because I think especially dealing with a lot of legacy, doing a lot of legacy planning, and myself being a parent of two girls, I think it's really important. Because we want to do everything for our kids. We want to make sure that they're taken care of even when they're grown. But I often will make sure that my clients are aware of, I use the analogy of, okay, when you're in an airplane and the folks in the airplane are going through the process and they talk about in the event of a crash, the gas mask comes down, apply your gas mask first before you apply it to a child or a dependent. It's the same with your finances, because I think a lot of parents want to, open up their wallet to their kids if they're in need, and absolutely you want to help them, but at the same time you've got your life and your goals that you have to live, and you have to make sure that you're taken care of first before you can, adequately assist a loved one.
Ben, unfortunately, we are out of time, and I got to scoot on. And I've really, really enjoyed our conversation, and I've learned a lot today. For our listeners who would like to learn more, how can they best reach out to you?
I can be reached at my office. I can give you the phone number. It's 248-615-1003. You can also send me an email at benjamin.hoag@edwardjones.com, and then I'm also available online. You just look up Edward Jones and type in my name. I'm in the Farmington area, and I'm happy to help out in any way that I can.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being our first guest today, and as like I said, I learned a lot. I'm sure our audience did as well. So thanks. Stay warm. Enjoy the rest of your day. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks. I appreciate the time.
Okay. Take care, buddy.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to move on. Our next guest is Andre, and I'm going to end up butchering everybody's name today. Salami is what I'm going to go with, and hopefully I'm not too far off on that. Let's see where we are. Andre, are you there, buddy?
I am here.
So how bad did I butcher the name?
You didn't. You did great. Actually, for your first try, I commend you. Not many people get it right.
Good.
The first
well, I did horrible with Ben, so I'm trying to atone for myself because it was like it sounds like, but it looks like, and I'm like cool. Thank you. I'm glad I was able to. I'm batting 500 for today, so hopefully I can continue on. So Andres with Red Door Realty, and so he's a real estate agent, and you know, this is something that this is probably one of my favorite questions to ask real estate agents is what made you decide to become a real estate agent?
Well, a couple things, actually. My background is in construction, and I was in construction for over 10 years. And then in 2009, as we all are well aware, the economy hit, and construction jobs were hard to come by. And, you know, I always had a passion for building things and helping people. So I was encouraged to check out real estate. And in 2011, I did get my real estate license. So I've been doing this now 7 years. And, you know, it's actually been a blessing to be able to help people with, you know, part of the American dream is owning a home. And it's in a lot of cases, people's largest one-time financial investment they'll make. So I don't take that, you know, opportunity lightly. So I enjoy that I can help them with their real estate dreams.
Nice. And hang on, I'm sorry. I was pulling you up on Facebook, and I was going to share your information. So that's where I was with that. So my next question is: there's some expectations people have from like watching like HGTV and other real estate type networks and shows. What's your thought process on that?
So, you know, I joke with my clients about some of the shows because sometimes they portray you go out and you see three homes and you pick one and, you know, that's how it works. And listen, if that was the case for every single client, great. But in a lot of times, you know, you don't just see three homes. Maybe you see seven. Maybe you see 10. In rare cases, maybe you've got the 20 or 25. I tell my clients, because this is the largest investment they're going to make, financial, you know, they will have that aha moment when they walk into a home. They'll know if that's the home for them or not. And if they don't have that feeling, chances are maybe that's not the home. So we keep looking. You know, I don't mind looking at homes. I don't mind taking the time to go through the process with my clients to make sure to give them the best information to make the best decision for themselves. I mean, that doesn't bother me.
That's awesome. And I think that people don't want to feel rushed. And I think that, you know, I know people that have had a different experience with other realtors, and it was something where I almost felt like they were guilted into buying the house because they, you know, the guy was like, So, and I think that for those people that are looking for that perfect home, to know that they have somebody that has the patience to help them and make sure that it's the best thing for them. That's huge. In my eyes, that's huge. So I'm so glad. I'm so glad that was your response. So here's a question then. So somebody's thinking about either listing or buying. What are some of the things that they should consider when choosing an agent?
Well, they should consider, you know, the process. You know, do they do a listing consultation? Do they do a buyer consultation? Are they on time? Do they respond in a timely manner? Do they call when they say they're going to call? Do they show up when they say they're going to show up? You know, my process is basically, you know, for a listing consultation, I come over and we walk through the home and we discuss, you know, are there things that you actually need to do to sell your home or are there not? I don't get in the habit of telling people to spend a whole bunch of money if they're not going to get it back in the sale. Obviously there are things that, you know, we go through, make sure your house is clean, you know, be ready to show on a moment's notice because sometimes it happens that way. I prepare them for, you know, the process once we have a buyer, what the next step is, the inspection, then they do the appraisal, you know, we set the closing. For buyers, same thing. I set the expectation. You may not walk into the first home and fall in love. If you do, great, we'll write the offer. If not, we keep looking till we find it. You shouldn't ever have to settle for something as a buyer. And, you know, I set the expectation up front. These are the areas you told me you want to be in. you know, this is the price range, these are the amenities you want, and we try and, you know, make sure that we're looking at homes that meet that criteria. There are some times where, you know, priorities change, and so we need to amend the search. Or if, you know, the client is telling me they want these certain things, and then they find listings on their own and send them to me and they're not matching up, we have another conversation to figure out, you know, hey, did something happen, or did, you know, did we not consider, you know, some of these that you're talking about? And we, you know, because some of the times when they're looking at listings online, their eyes are different than my eyes. So they're not paying attention if it doesn't have a basement, or they're not paying attention if it doesn't have a garage, or if it doesn't have a fenced yard. And so, you know, that's some of the things that we talk about as part of a buyer consultation.
I think another question is for somebody who is looking to buy, being that there tends to be far more people buying than there is inventory, what advice would you give for that first-time buyer? Because I think, you know, what you probably face is somebody saying, oh, I found this house, and you find out that they're not prepared in any way. What are some steps that they should take to kind of prepare themselves, or what, you know, what happened as far as, you know, dealing with a consultation with you and the things you would go through with them?
Absolutely. So, you know, especially with buyers, I find out, you know, how are they paying for the home? Are they paying cash? Are they financing? And I ask for that information. If they are financing and they already have a lender, I ask to see the pre-approval letter. If they're paying cash, I ask to see their proof of funds. And I do that for two reasons. One, it helps me know that they're serious. But two, it also helps me set the realistic expectation for them. If their expectation is they're only qualified to purchase a $250,000 home and all they want to see are a $350,000 home, well, that's not going to match up because they're not actually prepared to buy that home. I don't ever want to show them a home they're not qualified to purchase, because in a lot of cases, they'll fall in love with that home, they can't buy it, right, and they never get over that home. So every home gets compared to the one they can't have.
Yep.
So I try and set that expectation, and I kind of, you know, it helps me help them, but it helps me help me because my time is valuable. I have a lot of clients that I work with, and I need to budget my time accordingly. And the last thing I want to do is take up time with a client that has unrealistic expectations over a client that, you know, we understand what they need, and, you know, we agree on the direction to move forward.
Is there anything different that you do when you have a seller that has pets or smokes? Is there any advice or anything that you could share that doesn't give any of your trade secrets away?
So, you know, I tell my sellers all the time, it is okay to live in your home while you're trying to sell it. However, not everybody likes the smell of cigarettes. Not everybody likes the smell of pets. If I walk into a home and I smell that, that's one of the things I'll talk about is, you know, hey, listen, if there is an odor, we need to try and get rid of that odor. I'm not telling you to get rid of your pet, but maybe you can find them to a certain area while we're doing this process. And if you must smoke, try and do it outside, and don't throw the butts all over the ground. You know, pick a container you're going to put it in and empty that container on a regular basis, and especially don't leave it out for showings. If you have a pet, one of the biggest things that we run into, especially on this, you know, as a buyer's agent, if there's a home that has a pet and the yard isn't picked up, that's a problem. So I always tell my sellers, if you have a pet and you let them go outside, pick up after them, you know, immediately if you have to, because you don't ever want a potential buyer, you know, walking through the yard and stepping in landmines. I mean, that's not fun, because a lot of times they may not even realize they stepped on it and they're going to traipse it through your house.
Oh, gross. Okay. Well, those are a couple of things that I wanted to kind of throw out there. But for the person who is saying, and this is what I always hear, I've got a friend, I've got a family member, I've got a cousin, you know, all these different people. Andre, why should somebody choose you? I mean, you've obviously identified yourself as an expert in our conversation so far, but what is it that thing that you think that makes you different or unique from everybody else?
Well, a lot of my business is referral, referral from past clients, referral from friends, and, you know, people would not refer me if I didn't do a good job. And, you know, my track record is, you know, I will help you get the best results for yourself, whether you're a buyer or you're a seller. You know, I work on your behalf. Your money, I treat your money like it were my money. And I'm not going to leave any of it on the table, whether you're a buyer or seller. You know, why me? You know, everyone's going to say, I'm loyal, I'm this, I'm that. You know, my track record speaks to why people should choose me. My clients refer me to all of their friends, to all their family. And I'm lucky. I've been blessed with a good business. And, you know, I hope that continues moving forward.
And I've been a big fan of Red Door for a long time, so they're a great company too. So you definitely have a great foundation that you work from as well. Do you have any geographic limitations, or where do you focus your business at?
It's funny. You know, people ask me that all the time, and if I were in front of you, I would hold my hand up, and I would basically draw a circle right around my thumb. And wherever, you know, my clients need me to go, that's where I'll go. I mean, my office is in Royal Oak. I live in Plymouth. But, you know, tomorrow I'm showing properties in Chelsea. I've got, you know, buyers in White Lake, Harrison Township, Monroe, you know, all parts in between, Warren, St. Clair Shores,
wow.
Westland, yeah, everywhere. So, you know, I tell people, you know, I don't try and stick to a particular geographical area because, quite frankly, you know, my clients need me to go where they need me to go. You know, I was fortunate when I grew up on both the west side and the east side. So when I'm talking to people, I know roads and you know, restaurants and locations. So like, wow, you know, where did this come from? Well, you know, I grew up in, you know, on the west side and grew up on the east side and all parts in between. So if I can put my knowledge to work for my clients, you know, why would I, you know, just pick one location if I can help them in many?
Well, I think that, to me, we're going to create something unique is that I think what we see a lot is east siders stay east, west siders stay west. But there are people that do go, you know, east and west. And it creates some major limitations because I know so many realtors that are strictly in the one geographic area. So I think it does create a real interesting opportunity for your clients that are actually making that move going east or west. That they don't have to lose contact with you just because, you know, they're traveling 20 or 30 miles away.
Right. You know, obviously if it's, you know, Grand Rapids or Kalamazoo, I mean, that's, you know, a few hours away, I would be doing them no service whatsoever. So I would, you know, find a good referral partner that I can point them in that direction.
The last thing I want to do
is not service my clients appropriately. So.
Sure, but I think that, you know, saying you focus in Southeast Michigan or the Tri-County area,
Tri-County.
And just so you understand, that does absolutely make you unique because that's not the answer I get most of the time, whether you knew it or not. Yeah, for sure.
Thank you.
I've seen realtors that were in Roseville, and they had, you know, somebody that had a listing in Marysville, and they're like, that's not going to happen. I'm like, okay. Alrighty. That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that you have that. To me, when I guess what it does, it kind of goes back to what you began with, is talking about the patience that you have with your clients, and that kind of parlays into that part of it to say that, hey, you know, I'm going to do what it takes for my clients. If it means I'm going to travel a little bit more, it's going to take a little extra time. I think that your focus is the satisfaction of your clients, which then tells me why you get most of your clients from referrals. Because it all, you know, spirals back around right to that portion of it. Andre, what I'd like to do is for our clients, my listeners, if they want to learn more, how can they best reach out to you?
Sure. I'm just a phone call away, and text messages are okay too. They can reach me by phone or text at 586-337-7545. Again, that's 586-337-7545. They can also reach me by email at Andre, andre.salami@gmail.com. That's A-N-D-R-E dot S as in Sam, A-L-A, M as in Mary Y, @gmail.com.
Andre, do you have, I'm looking on Facebook and I see the Red Door fan page. Do you have a fan page for yourself?
I do, Andre Salami Realtor.
Okay, and I would, just as a side note, I would definitely recommend you put that as your employer on Facebook, because it's not linked. And because if you don't have it linked as your employer, then it makes it tough for our, you know, our listeners to be able to find it.
Okay.
So yeah, please do that, because I want to share that link, because a lot of our listeners are the archive. They're listening to it later, and I want them to be able to have access to your social media content as well. Okay. We still actually have, I don't know if you still have a couple of minutes to chat. We haven't had our next person call in yet.
Sure.
What do you see? Because I guess, you know, right now it's 7 degrees and it's not really where people are thinking about. But what I always hear is people are saying, well, I'm going to wait till spring. And what advice would you give for that person who is saying, well, I'm going to wait till spring? Do you think they should do something now, or what advice would you give them?
Do not wait till spring. I love, absolutely love winter real estate. Simple fact is, buyers and sellers take each other more seriously in the winter. Okay? Springtime, summertime, everyone wants to go look at homes, right? But who's getting out when it's 7 degrees outside and a foot of snow on the ground unless you're serious about buying a home? You know, perfect example, I had, you know, a couple years ago, if you remember that blizzard we had where we got like 15 inches over the course of a day and a half, and I was out showing clients a home, and we showed up for a showing, and, you know, we noticed cars in the driveway, so I knocked on the door. The seller happened to be home. They opened the door and said, what are you doing here? And I'm like, we had a showing scheduled. And they said, well, yeah, but it's snowing. I'm like, you know, my clients wanted to see the house. And so they were kind enough. They let us in and, you know, ended up, clients fell in love with the home, wrote the offer and got it accepted, and actually got maybe a little bit of a better deal because we had an appointment. We kept our appointment. We showed up. We showed the interest and wrote the offer. So, you know, the seller knew, hey, these guys are serious because they're out in this weather. And the buyers, you know, they're like, hey, they let us in, you know, and it just made for a, you know, just a nice transaction for both sides. You know, don't wait. You know, everyone says, let's wait till the spring when all the buyers are out. There's plenty of buyers out right now. You know, inventory is low, but it is increasing. And understand, the less homes that are on the market, the more you may actually get for your home. So, you know, why get on the market with everybody else? Go on the market now. You know, give me a call. Let's do a listing consultation. I can set you up. You know, and listen, if it does not make sense for you know, people and their families to sell right now, then don't do it. But if there's no other reason than I just want to wait till spring, you know, let's talk and see if maybe now might be the best time.
So I'm going to go on the other end of the gamut now. So
sure.
the person's had their house on the market for the last 9 months and have yet to sell it. And obviously they're not dealing with you. They're dealing with a different, because this is a real situation. This is somebody I know.
Okay.
And
okay.
So they've had the house on the market for 9 months, and I'm talking to him the other day, and basically it's my friend, but it's his wife who's the decision maker. So she chose the realtor. And so that's all I'm going to say about that. But anyways, what can somebody do? What advice would you give for somebody who's had the house on the market for that long? Can they change realtors, or, you know, how does that whole process work?
Well, I can't speak to how other realtors set up their listing contracts. Mine is set up, you know, there's a cancellation clause. If they don't like the job I'm doing for any reason, just let me know in writing that they no longer want me to represent them, and they have their listing back. You know, if there's been a listing that's on the market for a while, you know, it could be the price. It could be, you know, maybe if they're getting showings and they're not getting offers, it could be something with the house. Maybe it's the price. If they're not getting any showings, Maybe it's the pictures. You know, if the pictures don't show the home, and then people aren't going to want to come see it. You know, when I take pictures for a listing, I take pictures and I put them online as like, if I were going to show this home, how would I look at these pictures online? And I want the pictures to be good enough for them to want to come see the home. And so that when they walk in, they're like, wow, the pictures look great, but this house looks even better in person. Because the last thing you want is for them to show up and, you know, the pictures are either just altered too much or not an accurate representation of what they're walking into, because you don't want someone to walk in, this looks nothing like the pictures. And believe me, it happens, and it's unfortunate.
Right.
But, you know, I can't control what other agents do with their listings or their clients, but that's just how I approach, you know, listings with my clients.
Cool. And I think that you know, that's, the realtor does matter. I think that's the most important part of this, is that you can't just choose your buddy. This is too important. And, you know, to do your due diligence and choose to choose the right realtor can make such a huge difference, because I basically have somebody who, I mean, this person's driving 100 miles a day to work because they can't sell this house. And it just, it makes me sad. it really makes me sad. And because it doesn't need to be that way. And so, you know, it's something where I really wish that, you know, they had made a different decision, because I really think that's playing a big role. But I'm on the outside looking in, so I can't say anything. But,
right. You know,
yeah,
and I tell clients too, I don't, competition, listen, there's enough business for everybody. I don't have to do all of the real estate, right? I don't want to do all of the real estate business in Metro Detroit, because there's a lot of it. But I do feel that everybody should be well represented. And if you're not, well, then take a look at your situation and how you might be able to change it. But, you know, I don't mind competition. If someone wants to talk to me and another realtor, please do. You know, you have to make the best decision for yourself, you know, but
absolutely,
choosing someone for the only thing is, you know, you're their friend or you're their, you know, cousin or your family. I mean, that's great. But if they don't do the job for you, then, you know, maybe it's time for somebody else.
Yeah. So that's my goal. I'm going to be seeing them on Super Bowl, at the Super Bowl, and that's going to be my my goals too. Just going to pry that away from this other person, because I want my buddy closer to me. So that's kind of where my motivation
right.
is. Well, we are going to wrap it up now, Andre. I really appreciate you being on for the extra time.
My pleasure.
And it was an honor to speak to you. And I really appreciate all the information and knowledge and expertise that you brought to the show today. So thank you so much for being on.
You got it. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. We're going to bring in our next guest. And our next guest is Brian Glicky. And I'm just pulling up my notes right here so I can get ready for him. And we'll bring him on. And we will get him here right now. Here he comes. Brian, are you there?
Hey. Yes, I am. Hi.
How are you, sir?
How's it going?
It's going great.
Very good. Very good.
Brian Glicky. Yeah, Brian is with eProfit Media. And he's search engine optimization, digital marketing, website development. Other than that, he doesn't do anything. I've been so impressed. It was kind of funny, because I think, you know, we had connected on social media some time ago, and then a couple years ago you came into the, you know, the LBN family. And then what always sticks out in my mind was when we had one of the exchanges where, you know, for our listeners with Local Business Network, we'll actually do get-togethers with certain segments of the organization, and it was our techie group, and you blew me away. I was so impressed. It's kind of funny, because I think about that, if any of the other people that were there listening, just don't listen for a second, but your presence and your attitude and your intelligence, all those things, you're the only person I remember being there. So good job, I guess, right?
Oh, thank you. That's very high praise. I hope that comes through on the radio.
I guess over the next 15 minutes or so, I think we'll be kind of proving that point. So I gave a brief overview of the types of things that you do, but I want to kind of get into more for our listeners and try to make this on kind of on their level. So what does your company do, Brian?
Okay, well, we do basically digital marketing. So what that means is if you have a business or you do business online or you have a business website, we help you bring more customers through the internet to your business by putting your business in front of those customers when they're looking for or in the market for your products or services. And we've been doing this for 12 years now. And we either sometimes it can make you a new website or, you know, we work with your existing website. If some people are doing – we see clients who some who are doing digital marketing right now and they're not sure if it's working or they're a little bit intimidated because, you know, it's just too techy for them or they've tried it in the past and it just hasn't worked. They haven't gotten the results. They've spent a lot of money like on AdWords or something and they're not – they didn't see any return. So they're really leery and hesitant. What we like to do is we bring them in, we explain our process, and we like to show – we show a client typically results within the first month. So we will generate a plan for you, say, here's what we need to do, and this is how we're going to carry it out, and you'll see results.
So when I hear the word, and as somebody who was not – somebody who was non-techie, when I hear the word, you know, digital marketing, I think that term probably scares some people. Can you kind of paint a picture like who your typical client is and the types of businesses that you can help?
Yeah, we work with small one-man businesses to like law firms to we have a multi-million dollar corporation that we work with. It depends sort of like we help them. How do I want to phrase this? We're going to take your website and put it in front of the people who are searching for your services. So if that's what you're looking to do to bring in more business, then that's how we help you do that. I don't know if I'm getting that across properly.
That's fine. Because I think that, you know, okay. There's people that they're going to have a business and, you know, they'll either go and, you know, go to GoDaddy and throw a website up and suddenly they think that, you know, their phone's going to ring, and there's definitely far more to it than that, and that's kind of where you guys step in, right?
Yes. So what we do is we look at your market. You can't just throw up a website and expect business, the phone to ring. That doesn't happen anymore. And what you need to do is you need to have a plan that takes into account your competition, your market, and what your current web presence is. And then what we do is we evaluate the steps we need to take to get you ranking in your city or in your service area for what you do to bring in those clients. And once you do that, then the phone starts to ring. So there's lots of metrics that you can show a client like, oh, we increased your traffic. But if it's not qualified traffic, if it's not people looking for your services, then you're just wasting your money. So what we focus on is bringing in actual leads. And what our clients see and is actually the phone rings. They get actual leads. And that's the only metric we really focus on is how many leads are we generating for you each month. And then we grow that. So let's say you're a dog groomer and you're in Livonia or something, just as an example. And you serve, you know, Farmington Hills or Farmington. You can, you know, your service area is larger than your city. Then we'll get you ranking. Or, you know, we'll generate business from, like, where you are, Livonia, and then we'll expand it out to your entire service area. And that's our difference. So we constantly grow you and expand your reach on the internet for the services that you provide. And that's how we grow people's businesses.
And I know that, you know, in talking to you and different things in the past, I know that you've had some pretty good successes. Could you share a couple of stories of some people you've helped recently?
We've got two. We recently did a cleaning company in Michigan, and this person had a site. They did an expensive AdWords campaign that didn't work, and then we said, okay, we looked at her website. We said, okay, we're going to make these changes. This is our plan. We looked at your market. She has a couple cities she wants to target initially, and again, we want to show results in the first month. So we didn't want to do a complete redesign because we don't want to do – we don't do anything we wanted to do things that are effective. So if you don't need a new website, we're not going to recommend a new website. So we worked with her current site, and then we implemented our changes, what we recommended, and she got her first call. I talked to her yesterday. Last week she got her first call from a website that hasn't generated any business in months. And she was like,
wow,
so happy because she invested this money and she wants to know that it will work, you know, and that's our difference. We research all this stuff. Other companies will just say, okay, we SEO your site. It's, you know, this many $100 a month. And they're not looking at your market and they're not looking to grow you. So that's why we've got, in the last 5 years, we have a 100% client retention rate. And once
wow,
we get a client, we usually keep
crazy.
Them forever. Yeah, and we had another client. We had a Social Security disability attorney in Florida. Okay, so this guy found us, and he had worked with two big companies that do law firm marketing during the past 4 years. They got him absolutely no business. So he's like, can you help me? I said, yes. And we gave him his plan. And in his case, we redeveloped his entire site. And then we launched his site right before Christmas. And he already has a 600% increase in search traffic and a corresponding increase in leads coming through the site. And he's happy as a clam. So that's what I like to do. I mean, I love going in there and helping these people business. There's a lot of satisfaction in that. And there's, you know, helping them. Because there's so much, there is a lot of confusion about what we do and how we do it. And leeriness about, you know, firms that are just, I guess that's in every industry, though. There's people that just don't do a good job. And we're out to create these relationships and grow the business. So, like, for the attorney in Florida, we have a plan. We have a 6-month plan for him, and we've got, like, these are the regions he wanted to target, and then we're going to expand that already into these other regions that he serves. And all that's all planned out. So every six months or 3 months, we review the plan with the client, and we talk to them, and we say, hey, how are the leads? Is this the kind of case leads you want? Is this the kind of customer? Are you drawing from the right geographic region? All that kind of stuff. And then, that's how we grow them.
So, Brian, what do you think it is about your approach that, why does your approach work where other people have failed?
I think it's, again, we have 12 years experience. So, and we do, like, I have a small team, and we do all the work ourselves. So, and we do all this research. So we look at your market, and we figure out based on our experience, and our knowledge of how all this works and your market, we develop a plan that's going to work. So we can virtually guarantee results. So, and we try to do that. We produce that within the first month. So that's usually, that's like the secret. And then we constantly update the plan, like I said, to grow the business through its entire service area. So if you're, you know, you want your, maybe you just serve your city or your county or your state or nationwide. We have clients that are nationwide. They want to rank everywhere. We can do that. And then if you've got, like, we have some, and we have some clients who can't, they're franchisees and they can't access, they can't change the website at all. So they want to grow their business. So what's the strategy for doing that? So we've encountered, like, almost every situation out there that you can come into or encounter with digital marketing.
So one of the things that you said, this was earlier in our conversation, you said that you get results in a month. So if somebody's looking to work with you, how is it set up? Is it a few months, or what's the relationship look like when they're dealing with you?
We set out to do a long-term relationship. So, because we want to help them grow and reach as many clients as possible in their service area. So we're going to, like I said, we start with their city or whatever region and grow them that way. And then we want to get them in front of their competition so they can beat their competition in their service area in all the regions that they serve. So as we do that, they get more and more leads. Now, sometimes clients are like, this is my service area and I don't want to grow anymore, and that's fine. And then what we do is we maintain that. Or in the cases of, let's say, I was speaking with a doctor's practice the other day. He does a certain procedure. He wants to rank in his city or service area or county for what he does as a general, as a surgeon. But then he also has a procedure that he does better than anyone else with a different approach that he wants, like, the whole state or the whole country. People have this condition. He comes up for it. So that's one of the things that we're going to target for him. So there's different situations that we can help people with, depending on the business. But we want you to reach your full potential as far as growing your business, and that's what we help clients do.
So do you work within a budget, or, you know, for the person who hasn't done this in the past, as far as how would they get an understanding of what the cost would be and what the investment would be? Is it something you do for free, or how is that process set up?
In some cases, we charge for a proposal. In other cases, we can give you a quick ballpark depending on what we need to do. We always do a little upbit. We always do research before we give you a proposal. So
okay. So
we'll do the research up front, and we'll know what we need to do. Sometimes we charge for that. And then if we can't help you, we'll let you know. But usually we can. We've usually been able to help everyone. And we'll tell you what it's going to cost and what the potential benefits would be. But everyone, like 90% of people search the Internet when looking for products and services. So
right.
A lot of people don't understand the market is for their service. So we look at statistics on searches and things like that, and we can approximate your market and tell you if it's going to be successful. There's some people who have really niche businesses, and those are good too. Those are a challenge, and we like those. So we have to get you up higher for, you know, for whatever your niche business is.
Very cool.
So that research is very exciting.
Is there, I know, I didn't know if you wanted to throw that out there or not, but I know there's a company that you've made a gigantic difference in. I don't know if you wanted to share some information about them or not.
Okay, so I've been the Mike Morris, the website developer and digital marketing person, I guess, company provider for the Mike Morris Law Firm for over 10 years now. We've developed 4 websites. And we took him from, I think, like 18 million in settlements back in 2009 to 150 million last year. Now, I can't
Holy
take credit God. For all of that, but this is what, like, when we started, he was on the third page of Google for some of his practice areas. But it shows how this definitely helps grow your business. And when your business is put in front of your potential customers when they need your products or services. So when I started with him, they were a much smaller firm, and now they're running ads during the Super Bowl. So that's pretty cool.
Wow.
That's just, you know, how you can grow your business with digital marketing. Now, I'm not promising I'm going to turn everyone into the Mike Morris Law Firm, but, you know, there's potential out there, and that's what people don't understand, is that if this is executed properly and the focus is on bringing in business and not, like, traffic or other metrics that don't mean anything, that you can really grow your business and your livelihood.
Well, Brian, the reason I wanted to bring that up is I think that, you know, one of the things that I find is that, you know, I'll ask somebody, you know, so what have you done? It's great. You talk a great game, but, you know, what have you done? And I think that that's a huge feather in your cap, because that is definitely a name in Southeast Michigan that I can guarantee you everybody knows who that is. And that you played a role in that is just, it's really impressive. I mean, really impressive.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, that's just, we have tons of stories like that, though, where we've helped people really grow their businesses with digital marketing. And I wish everyone could understand that the potential that's out there. So there is a lot of potential. And there's a right way to do it, and we seem to have perfected that, I think. We have a really time-tested process. Like I said, we've been doing this for 10 years, so So we have a lot of experience, and we get results. We focus on results.
So one of my listeners is, or several of them, are looking to get more information. How can they best reach out to you, Brian?
Oh, go to our website, eProphet Media, E-P-R-O-P-H-E-T, profit as in prophecy, not profit, but we do generate profits. And we have a contact form there, or you can give, call my, should I give my mainline number? Or?
Yeah, please.
The information to contact me is on the, okay, 248-895-0158.
And I'm actually sharing your fan page right now. So if people are looking for that on Facebook, I'm sharing it as we speak. Cool. All right, cool. I really appreciate you being on. And again, I've been really impressed with everything that I've learned about you. And I think that, you know, as the economy is getting better and as businesses are growing, people really need to look at these other opportunities. And if you're not getting business from web, you know, web traffic, then it's a piece. And I guess the way I look at this is that there's a lot of different tools that we can use. You can do all types of marketing and all different types of things. But if your business isn't doing what you think it should be doing, you're probably missing something. And I think for many businesses, the digital marketing part of it is a huge missing piece for people. And so I would really recommend, you know, giving Brian a call and just, you know, taking a look and see what it is that you're missing. And he's had experience with so many different types of businesses that I'm sure he can look at somebody in a similar situation as yours and give some great information that can, you know, help you to, you know, make 2018 the best year you've ever had.
Thank you, Al. Yes, yes. And then also it's the lowest cost per lead marketing you can do in most cases. So, and it gets people when they're looking to buy. That's the power of what we do. So
nice.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, well, thank you.
All right,
thanks
well,
a
thank
lot.
You.
Again, thanks for calling in and enjoy the rest of your day. And take care, okay, bud?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the high praise and for this opportunity. Take
care.
We'll
see you later, buddy. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, This chapter of Local Business Network actually does have a few other members, and I'm just going to take a couple of minutes to spotlight the rest of the members of this group. They have an attorney. He's an elder law estate planning attorney. His name is Norm Richards, and he's with Cummings, McClory, Davis, and Echo PLC. They're in Livonia. There's also another attorney in this chapter. His name is Matthew Heron, and he's with he's a general practice attorney. It's with Cummings, McClory, Davis, and Echo. Oh, I guess they're the same law firm. I didn't realize that until just now. They have a group retirement person with Mutual of Omaha. His name is Tracy Parent. And those are just a few of the people. This chapter is looking to grow. It is looking for new members. If you feel you have a business that would complement this group of people, give me a call, 586-883-5838, and we can look to see if this would be a good fit for your business to look to be a part of this group. Great group of people, and again, they are looking to grow with some other professionals. What you'll find in the chapters of Local Business Network is the members all have something in common. So it's not something where, if you're not in a related business, what I'm going to do is look for a different chapter for you. I don't want you to be, you know, out there by yourself. You know, you sell something that has nothing to do with people in the group. It's not the idea. That's not the model that we use at LBN. It's something where we really want to kind of surround you with people that can complement who you are, what your business does, and that you can use these people as a referral source or as referral partners, as we call it in LBN. So that's kind of the idea. Well, that's going to wrap it up for today. Again, we had Ben and Andre and Brian on today. Really appreciate their time and their enthusiasm and knowledge. That's why I do this show, is I really look to spotlight small business owners and salespeople in Southeast Michigan. If you or your business would like to be featured on this show, please reach out to me on social media, on Facebook, on the Networking Squared fan page, or you can call me again, 586-883-5838, and we can look to have either you individually or your group or organization on, and I'm looking forward to speaking to you individually. That's it for today. Stay warm. And as always, God bless America. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.